Galatians chapter 5. I'll be honest with you, in 44 years of preaching and almost 12 years of pastoring, I don't know that I've ever given a Bible study that I think is more important than the one tonight, to be honest with you. I wished I could tell you that it will be great, wonderful, and something that will be bombastic. It's going to be something you're going to learn because you have a desire to be spiritual. But if you can get it, I promise you, your entire Christian life will change. Every bit of it. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 16. This is a familiar passage. This I say then, walk in the what?
Spirit.
Now I want you to know something, small s or capital?
Capital.
Underline that. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the what?
Spirit.
Capital or small?
Capital.
Capital. And the spirit, capital S, against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the what?
Spirit.
Small or big?
Spirit.
All right. The capital spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the what?
Spirit.
Small s or capital?
Capital.
Capital S. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, that means those that are saved, right? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the spirit, small s, capital S. Let us also walk in the capital S or small?
Capital.
Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I want to simplify the Christian life to you. Listen to me very carefully here. When a person gets saved, they get a new nature added to them. The spirit is dead in man until a person gets saved. And when a person gets saved, man's spirit is reborn. It is reborn by the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 3, we'll go there in a moment. But listen to me. When a person gets saved, you had a spirit or a spiritual life added to a fleshly life. Correct? When you get saved, you don't lose your fleshly life. That's why these idiots that say, well, you have to turn from your sin to get saved, they're wrong doctrinally. You can't turn from it because it's going to stay with you because you don't lose it. You add a spirit to it. Now watch this. This is why there is a battle to live the spiritual Christian life. You have the spirit and you have the flesh. Now watch this. The battle of the Christian life is the spirit versus the flesh. But I want you to notice something very closely. Look back at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now watch this. For the flesh lusteth against the
spirit.
Is that our spirit or the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
What is the flesh lusting of the Holy Spirit? Power, control, leadership. And the spirit against the flesh. The Holy Spirit lusts our flesh because it wants control instead of the flesh. And this battle is between the Holy Spirit controlling us or our flesh controlling us. It is not our spirit controlling us or our flesh controlling us. It is the Holy Spirit of God controlling us. I'm going to make a statement here in a little while that's going to shock you. The battle is the result of man choosing to be his own God instead of letting God be God. That's what Genesis 3 verses 4 through 6 were all about. Even the day thou eatest, you could be like gods, knowing good and evil. You won't need God. You could decide what's good and evil for yourself. By the way, the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So the fleshly life is us doing what comes naturally to our flesh. What are those things that come natural? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. How could a Kamala Harris get up and lie for an hour and a half last night like she did with a straight face? She is the epitome of evil and vileness. America ought to be uprising against the filth that they heard. Now, hang on for a second here. Do we feel something, or we want a feeling and then we say we have the Holy Spirit? No. God didn't say, I'm going to work with your feelings, because your feelings are part of your soul and your body. That's your flesh. Any religion that teaches you have to have a feeling for the Holy Spirit is teaching you a bad doctrine. I don't care what the name on the sign is. It could be Baptist. Everybody doing all right? I've heard Baptists get up and say, well, if you're not sorry enough for your sin, then you didn't get saved. Well, show me in the Bible the barometer of how sorry one must be. It's not there. Everybody doing okay? See, I'm not afraid to hit Baptists too, just so you know. It's not just the Catholics, though they are a better target, usually. The problem is, we want to feel things by our flesh. The Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, is what brings salvation to man. Go to John chapter 3, very quickly. I've quoted these verses so many times in my preaching to y'all. You've been there many times in my preaching. I want you to see it again with the words themselves. Look at verse number 6. John chapter 3, verse number 6. That which is born of the what? Flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, small s. So that which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now notice something. We are not born by our flesh to be saved. We're not born by our soul to be saved. I'm going to make this statement. We're not born by our spirit to be saved. We're born by the Holy Spirit of God, and he births a spirit in us for salvation. That's how much grace is involved. We have nothing to do with it other than accepting it by faith. And God says, here you go. Now, understand, it is the Holy Spirit that births our spirit. Now, here we go. We're about to get to the lesson. He resides inside of us from the moment we get saved until we go to heaven. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. Hate to tell you, it's not Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. It is the Holy Spirit that moves in. Jesus paid the price, but we're born of the Spirit. Now look at this. Here we go. He is there to permanently seal us for salvation. But he's also there to guide us in the words of truth. He is there to help communicate from God the Father and God the Son to us through the Word of God what we need to obey God. The Holy Spirit is not there to tell you how to feel in the flesh. The Holy Spirit's not there to tell you when to have goosebumps. Holy Spirit's not there to tell you when to tap your toe when the song's being played. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you in all truth. Now watch this. And he is there to help you overcome the flesh by obeying God, not by your flesh. Don't forget, we still have in us that desire to be our own God. That did not go away when you got saved. Now, if you missed everything so far, too bad. But you really need to listen to the next couple statements to get the rest of the lesson tonight. We now have this constant battle of our flesh, which comes natural. It is the natural man. It is the flesh. It is that which comes naturally to us. It is our initial response. Then you have the Spirit, which does not come naturally. Reacting spiritually is not natural. It's supernatural. You don't get saved and all of a sudden God puts a giant S on your chest and you're super Christian. We are used to reacting to our natural flesh, and we often and too often listen to the flesh, but God wants us to respond in the Spirit. This requires more steps in everything that we do that comes natural to us. You don't become spiritual by doing it naturally. It's a war that you keep fighting to the end. It's like fixing a bad habit. When I started playing trumpet, I played trumpet for about 20 some years. Long time ago in a faraway place. But after several years, my dad paid for me to get lessons at the local high school. One of the best trumpet teachers there was a man named Ted Winger. Ted was an assistant band director at one time for the Ohio State University Marching Band. If you know anything about the Ohio State Marching Band, it's one of the premier bands in the world. Ted was one of the assistant directors to that band. He didn't play games with little boys playing trumpet. It was life to him. And I remember start playing, and I got done getting through some slaughtering some pages of music. And he opens up a desk drawer, and he flips a golf ball at me and said, "Here." I thought, maybe he wants me to go play miniature golf. I don't know. I said, "What's that for?" He said, "You got bad posture with your valve hand." He said, "Stick that in the palm of your hand and then work the valves." He said, "Your hand doesn't go against the side of the trumpet. You hold your hand out." He said, "I want you practicing 30 minutes a day with that thing, and I'll know next week whether you did or not." You know, to this day, if I pick up a trumpet, I don't put my hand up against that thing. I practiced for months holding a stupid golf ball there. He broke a bad habit real quick. I remember one time I didn't do it And we were 5 or 10 minutes into the lesson, and he sent a note down with me. I had to go out to the car, and the note said to my mom, "He didn't practice this week, and you just spent money for a kid that don't practice, but I won't listen to him if he doesn't practice." Oh, did I get it when my dad got home. And I practiced a lot that week. You see, we have to fix a bad habit by going through more steps. You're not going to fix it naturally. It requires more steps. Now watch this. The key to living a spiritual life is not to do what comes natural. When we do that which comes natural, we're doing things that please the flesh. Well, I want it this way. Okay, what about God's way? Well, preacher, as I see it, don't care how you see it, how does God see it? People hate it when I say, book, chapter, and verse. Everybody doing okay? When we learn to live the Bible as the Bible says, listen to me, there are many people in this room, you don't agree with me on a lot of things, but I've shared enough scripture with you that you don't have any scripture to support what you want. It's just what you want. I love you. You say, what is it? Because we don't want to live the supernatural. We want to appear supernatural living in the flesh. The battle is your flesh against the Holy Spirit, not against your spirit. The battle is, are you going to give in to the flesh, or are you going to give in to the Holy Spirit? Not are you going to give in to your spirit. Your spirit is the one that has to yield to one or the other. And the battle is between the Holy Spirit and our flesh. Not between you and the flesh. Not between you and the Holy Spirit. It is between which one you will yield to. Now, here we go. Point number one. We have to put in much Bible to overcome the natural man. There's only one way to overcome the natural man, and that is knowing what that book says. How can you obey God if you don't know what he says? Right. True statement? Yes. All right. Then why is it that we won't put enough of him in? Go to Psalm 119 real quickly. Psalm 119, look at verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy what? Word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments with my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, I'd rather have the word of God than all the money in the world. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I could go on. I'm not. But I want you to notice something. We cannot do this without the word of God. I'm not asking you to believe what the preacher believes. I'm asking you to do what the Bible says. That's it. I believe you ought to read the Bible every day. Say, well, how much, preacher? I don't care. Just read it every day. I believe you ought to be in every church service that's possible. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Say why? Because we need the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Miss Jackie sent me something this morning. I haven't gotten to listen to the whole thing, but I read the little doojigger she sent me, and It's pretty amazing. This guy got on and said, you know, why is it that America is in trouble? It's because Christians don't go to church more. Most churches barely have church on Sunday morning, shut down Sunday night, Wednesday night. And whoever this fellow was, he said this, when America was great, America was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Look where we're at with no church. Lends credence to the statement I've said. Problem today is not in the White House, though that is a problem, but the problem is in the church house, too many preachers not preaching truth. Not important enough for anybody to come back and get it again. I love what Brother Scott said. He said, man, I need this tonight, preacher. He said, it's been a week. I'm glad people come to church like that. I'm glad they come wanting to get something that's going to get them through the rest of the week. We need to hear it preached. We ought to memorize passages of the Word of God. You know, if you've memorized one verse a week, you could memorize 52 verses a year. Last time I counted, and I haven't counted for several years, I have somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 to 4,000 verses that I could quote. I've never set out to memorize that many. It just happens. But what's wrong with adults memorizing scripture? Everybody doing okay? Say what? Well, I have trouble with my anger, preacher. Well, I can give you a list of verses to memorize. And before you blow your stack, start quoting scriptures, and I promise you, you'll quit blowing your stack. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to make it. Go to John chapter 14 real quick, and then I'm going to make a statement that's going to hurt. So say ouch in advance. Amen. John chapter 14, look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now watch this. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit cannot work unless we put the truth in us. He has nothing to draw from if you did not put it in. You don't put the information in, he don't pull the information out. It's not the Holy Spirit's job to give you the answer to the test that you didn't study for. I'll never forget my first Bible class in Bible college. Teacher got up, about 600 freshmen there. Everybody had their test. He said, turn it over, and we're not starting yet. I'm going to pray, and then you can start. He said, dear Jesus, bless these folks. Help those that studied and paid attention in class, took good notes, help them get good grades. Help those that were too lazy and didn't have enough character to study and didn't take good notes, help them to fail. Amen. Man, there was a holy grunt across the room. That man taught me something. My first test in college. Study. Put it in. If you put it in, God can pull it out. You don't put it in, he has nothing to pull from. I can't tell you how many times I stand here and preach, and as I'm preaching, God's putting verses in my mind to stand here and quote to you. But the only reason I can do that is because I put them in. Everybody doing okay? The Bible is God's word, or God talking to us. We need to know what he said in order to obey it. It's not his job to suddenly pop the answer into your head. It's our job, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. God didn't say, I've studied it, so I'll put the answer in your head. No, you study. You do the work. You put it in. Everybody doing all right? I'm not telling you how much Bible to read every day, but I do believe you ought to read it every day. I believe you ought to pick a verse for the week, put it in your pocket, put it in your pocketbook, put it at the mirror in the bathroom, put it everywhere you go, and start memorizing one verse a week. Remind yourself of it. We have to put in as much Bible as we can in order for the Holy Spirit to be able to work in our life and overcome our flesh. If it's not in there, guess what's going to win? The flesh. Number two. We sinful people want our righteousness to satisfy God. Now listen to me. Go to Romans chapter 10 very quick. Just back a few pages. Romans chapter 10. Verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Do you realize that there are people that believe their own righteousness can get them saved? But I'm here to tell you that there's a bunch of Christians running around that think their own righteousness is good after they get saved. Go to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. It's just as true for Christians as it is the lost that we think our righteousness is good enough. Isaiah 64, 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness as filthy rags. And we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Look at just a couple pages back, Isaiah 55, verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Everybody look at me. That means when you say, well, I think, or as I see it, or the way I do it, guess what? That's the natural man, not God's way. I didn't say it, God did. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Please don't take this the wrong way, but I really don't give a flip about what you think. I care what God says. Amen. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God says. I don't care how you see it. How did God say it? Everybody doing okay? Now, I don't have a bad attitude, but hang on, I might. Just because you get saved, your natural man is just as bad as it was before it got saved. It's just as sinful as it was before you got saved. You cannot live a spiritual life in a natural man. It has to be lived by the Spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit. Not to the flesh. That's why all this jibber jabber, speak in tongues, flop on the floor stuff. Oh, I've got it, I got it, I got it, I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. That's all fleshly. That's why all this, oh, let's all dance and sway and sing and, oh, do you feel it? Do you feel it? Do you feel it? That's all flesh. It's not spirit. I'm not against getting happy in the Lord, raising my hand, shouting, all that kind of stuff. But it's not because I got goosebumps running up and down. I'm just excited about what God's done. The natural man cannot become spiritual. You cannot convert the natural man to a spiritual man. Because your natural man is going to die because it's sinful. That's what Isaiah 64 said. It'll fade away as the leaf. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now watch this. What is the faith of the Son of God? Romans 10:13. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a moment. Everybody doing okay? Smile. I love you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 12. Oh, good. I've got time for the last point that I couldn't wait to get to. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, capital S or small s? Oh. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is the world that looks at Christians and say, if you live by the Bible, you're weird. Those are the ones that can't figure out what bathroom to use. Yeah, what color of hair it is. That's the guy that's 70 years old with a ponytail down to his rear end riding a Harley. Yeah, you can ride the Harley, but you can't look like you're 20 again. Can I tell you something? The world is what's weird, not us. I don't even want to jump into the politics of things of the day. But may I say something? Let me repeat. We have to put in as much Bible as possible to overcome the natural man. We sinful people want our righteousness to satisfy God. You cannot satisfy God with your spirit alone. Because it will react in the flesh, not the spirit. It must react in accordance to the word of God, with the spirit of God giving you power to obey it. Watch this, for it to be spiritual. That doesn't mean you felt something. It means you obeyed something. It's not this big, oh, I felt the Holy. Folks, I've been around a long time and seen the Holy Spirit do things, and I never felt a thing. Now, point number 3. Are you ready? The flesh goes against the Holy Spirit. Our spirit, though saved, can and often does yield to our flesh. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 16. I want you to notice some words here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Circle the word walk or underline it. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. That means this. We are to walk in the Holy Spirit, not in our spirit. We're not to yield to our flesh and do that which comes natural. When somebody does something to you that's unkind, our natural reaction is to do something unkind back. God says, love your enemy. What good have you if you love those that love you? Loving somebody that loves you is natural. Loving somebody that hates you, now that's supernatural. Loving somebody that despises and despitefully uses you and persecutes you, that's not natural. But God said, don't do that which is natural. Do that which is supernatural. If somebody hits you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Not rear back and fire again. When you rear back and fire, and that's your initial response, you're listening to the flesh, not the spirit. Everybody doing okay? When somebody says something mean, keep your mouth shut. Don't say something mean back. Boy, that's easy stuff. Now, here we go. God does not force our spirit any more than he does our body or our soul. Brother Anthony, come on up here for a second. No, he's not in trouble. But when Brother Anthony got saved, God didn't come down to, how old were you when you got saved? 30? Oh, he didn't come to a 5 or 6 year old boy and say, you got to get saved, and grab him by the neck and shove him down. God never came to anybody doing that. Neither will the Holy Spirit come to you and say, bless God, you got to do this. Oh, no. Not at all. When the Holy Spirit called you into the ministry, God did. He didn't force you. There had to be a willingness to obey. You're going to have a seat. I've had many people say, well, preacher, how do you know when you've been called into the ministry? If you have to ask me that question, you haven't been. You'll know. You'll just know. You won't have to ask me. You'll tell me this is what God wants. It's not a question. Say, preacher. No, I believe it that strongly. We don't need any more mama called and papa sent preachers. We need men of God who are called by God that'll listen to a God. And by the way, I believe there's men of God that can volunteer and go without being called. The spirit of man does not stand on its own. It will either yield to the Holy Spirit or to the flesh. The spirit of man does not stand independent on its own. It will be influenced either by the Holy Spirit or our flesh. There's no else. This is where it gets exciting. This is why there are so many variations of what Christians call separation. Well, preacher, I don't see it that way. I think we ought to be able to do this. What did God say? It's not a matter of how you feel or what you want. It's not a matter of how I feel or how I want it. It's a matter of what did God say?
Yes,
sir. Well, there's standards and then there's convictions, and I just don't have a conviction about this. Can I tell you what the word conviction means? It means you did something wrong, were tried and found guilty and sentenced. Why do you have to act like a rebel punk before you obey? Rebellion is waiting till you're forced to do something right. How about we yield and do what's right? Because if you have to wait till you're forced to do what is right, that is the flesh, not the spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will not force you.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? So, how I see it doesn't matter. How God sees it is what matters. I'm to obey as it is written in the original intent. Not according to 2024 standards. We get mad at people interpreting the Constitution that way. How come we Christians don't get mad about Christians doing that with the Word of God? Preacher, you're just too old-fashioned. Thank you very much. I believe what God said, he meant. Well, I think you're a little too far. I'd rather be a little too far to the right leaning into the Spirit than being too far to the other side. I'd rather side with caution. I'm not mad at anybody. Everybody has to grow. I get it. But I'm just showing you what God said here. And I want you to see, he said, if you're going to walk in the Spirit. Go to Psalm 1. Boy, that's good stuff. Psalm 1. We wouldn't have to fight and argue and fuss over certain standards and things if people would just read the Bible and accept it in the Spirit. Psalm 1. Now remember what we read in Galatians 5? Walk in the Spirit, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we're not walking in the Spirit, getting our counsel from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, guess where we're walking? That's why churches look like looked worse than the world did 50 years ago. People wear things to church now they would have never thought of 50 years ago. I'm not angry, I'm just telling the truth. 50 years ago, the Methodist preachers would have never had rock music in their churches. I happen to know 50 years ago, many Methodist churches still preached salvation the right way. They didn't have baptism right, but they at least had, most of them had salvation right. So did some of the Nazarenes. Matter of fact, if I remember right, my dad's back there, you might remember, my grandmother, before they moved in from the farm, was a Nazarene. She got saved in the Nazarene church. Everybody doing okay? We talk about Billy Sunday. He was an old Presbyterian. Ain't nobody preached, had a million people get saved. Show me a million Presbyterian churches and I won't show you a million salvations. I'll show you more than a million cigarettes and cigars and in wine glasses. I said it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we are to walk in the Spirit, we're going to get our counsel from the Spirit. If we don't walk in the Spirit, we're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And we have churches changing all over this country and all over the world to do what they want to do that comes natural because they want to interpret it by today's words. How about God's words? Original intent. Let's not get mad at the liberals right now in government when we Christians are doing the same thing with the Word of God. Everybody doing okay? So much I want to say. To walk in the Spirit is obedience to the Bible, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it's us doing our part. Ephesians 4:24 says this, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. For we're members one another. Be angry and sin not. Sounds like you're led by the Spirit, not the flesh, right? That's by putting on the new man. The new man was given to you by the Holy Spirit when you were born again. Now, I gotta quit. I'm gonna crash land the plane. As we walk in the Spirit and obey the Bible, the Holy Spirit then can produce his fruit. We don't produce the fruit of the Spirit. He does. Notice what it says in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no will. That means this. When I'm yielded to the Spirit, and Brother Anthony needs love, I give him love. When he needs me to be meek and help calm things down, I give him meekness. Because I'm yielded to the Spirit to give him what he needs. As I've used that, the Holy Spirit says then, I can give you a little bit more. You just used it, I can fill your tank. You need gentleness, I'll give it to you. As you use it, he fills it back up in us and makes that capacity a little bit bigger. And after you've used it, you say, boy, that was good. I'd like to try that again. And as you use the fruit of the Spirit, he fulfills it, but you cannot develop it. You have to use it. It's not your fruit. It's not the fruit of your spirit. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit as you yield to him and the Word of God. And that, my friend, is how you walk in the Spirit. Let me read four verses to you. You need not turn there. It's in the book, the only one God wrote, King James Bible, Psalm 106. You need not turn there because I'm already there. Verse number 12 says this. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them the request, but he sent leanness to their soul. He's talking about the Hebrews. He said, I gave them what they wanted because they wanted fleshly stuff. They forgot me. They got their counsel from the world. They didn't want to do it my way. I gave it to them, but once they got it, they had leanness of soul. Didn't satisfy. And a person who wants to live spiritual, living in the flesh does not satisfy. Living in the flesh comes natural. Living in the spirit does not. But as you do it, let me tell you something. The more you do it, the more natural it can become. But it takes a long time. And we must walk in the Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'd like to spend another hour or two. I promise you, I don't care what level of Christianity you're at in your life, tonight could help you. Where are you in your walk with the Spirit?